What is a monetized mindset? How does it impact your financial security? How does that help you deal with what happens when what happens happens? Welcome your host, Bart Merrill.
All right, all right. Welcome to today's Monetize Your Mindset podcast. This is where we talk about creating financial security by monetizing those things that you already know. We take a deep dive into what do you like to do? What do you need to do? What are you already doing? And we ask the question, can you monetize it? Or better yet, how can you monetize it so that you create that financial security so that you'll have the resources to deal with whatever happens when what happens happens? Today we sit down with Kristen Paterchi. Now she says people can't say her name. I don't know if I did a good job or not, but you guys can be the judge because you're going to hear her say it here when she introduces herself. Anyway, we talk about the three things that she has put together that she has monetized her mindset with and is creating streams of income for her. And she has three different side hustles, mixture of side hustle and main gig right now that she is doing. And it's pretty amazing what she does. For those of you that are looking to create a side hustle or maybe even transition out of your job into your own business and working for yourself, we have the perfect course for you right now that I just finished up a few weeks ago. It is called Identify Your Ideal Side Hustle. If you want to take a look at it, it's free, so it doesn't cost you anything. And when you get done with it, you'll come out of it with a handful of ideas that are side hustles that would be unique to you, unique to your knowledge and what you already do. And that's what I like to help people monetize is the stuff that they're already doing, because we all only have 24 hours in the day. So we need to take advantage of that time and monetize the stuff that we are already doing, whether it's something that we like to do, need to do, or that we're already doing. Now, so with that, let's get on to today's show and welcome Kristen. All right. Welcome, Kristen, to the Monetize Your Mindset podcast. Thanks for joining us tonight.
You're welcome.
Or this morning or whenever it is.
Right? I'm so excited to be here.
So tell our audience a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, my name's Kristen Paterchi. No one can say Paterchi, so I am known as KP Speaks. I'm a public speaker. I like to coin it as a transformational speaker, but if you put that into a Google transformational, it doesn't come up with spell check. So what that is someone who speaks about things that can actually help you overcome maybe challenges or maybe move on to a next level of improvement in your life. I also am an author of a therapeutic gratitude journal. I do another little side hustle, which is it's a culinary experience. Right now it's virtual because we're in the COVID times.
Right.
But I do that either virtually with businesses or I do it live on site, as well as with families or just as parties. So I've been like to Jordan Page's home and done a culinary experience at her home, or I just host private parties.
Awesome. I'm glad we have you on the podcast because you're doing several different things and I like to talk about multiple streams of income.
Yeah.
And it's necessary in this time, just an experience for me right now. One of my main sources of income comes from exports to Japan, which was dependent, at least for the past few years, that has made it boom for me on Chinese tourists in Japan.
Oh, wow.
They're no longer there.
That's true. Yeah.
They're no longer anywhere and they may not be there for a while. That income stream has dried up. Mm-hmm. And who knows how long it's going to be. And so having multiple streams helps me out. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's the same in your situation. If one dries up, you have others to back you up. And that's, I like that you have done that.
Yeah. A lot of people say you need to concentrate on one thing, but I have several passions. I'd already built my cooking business, which is Buona Forchetta, which nobody can pronounce. And then I started my public speaking business. And I decided to kind of marry them together with my corporate gratitude work that I do. Right now, during these times, nobody's hiring anyone to speak.
Right.
So I started deciding maybe I can make a virtual culinary experience. And I've been able to make not a lot of money, but I've been able to make enough where if I needed to, I could, you know, maybe move in with my parents and pay for all my groceries. But, you know, like being able to start almost, it's almost like a third business idea suddenly just popping up out of the works.
Well, the average millionaire, not that this podcast is about becoming a millionaire, podcast is about creating financial security by monetizing the stuff that you know, the stuff that you do. It's not just what your passions are. It's what I say, one of the biggest things that people overlook is the things they need to do that they're already doing. How can they monetize those things? That's kind of a side note, but the average millionaire has 5 to 7 income streams. Now, obviously they don't start them all at once. They start them, get one going and have it self-sufficient, move on to the next. Pull from our experiences, what can we help people do? So let's start with your gratitude journal.
Okay.
I think that's kind of cool. I have heard how gratitude helps you in times of despair or times of need, which a lot of people could be in right now. So tell us a little bit about your gratitude journal, how it helps you and how it works.
Well, I actually developed it to help myself. And I was in a really dark, dark time. I had had a grand mal seizure in March of 2016. I suffered brain damage and trauma from that grand mal seizure. To get myself out of the darkness, my husband was like, why aren't you using those positive psychology strategies and practices that you've been taught through your positive psychology certificate program through the U of U? I just could not access gratitude. I couldn't access happiness. I couldn't access anything. And then I remembered this program I had built for a young boy when I was going through the program. And I decided to start implementing that program on paper for myself. And I got so tired of drawing the lines. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to self-publish this. I started giving it to my friends because it had been helping me so much, helping me pull myself out of my head, getting into life finally. My friends really loved it. So I started giving it to other people and then started selling it. The feedback I've received, I had one guy, he's older. He's suffered from depression pretty much his whole life. He lost his journal on a train. I know that sounds funny, a train. I don't even hear that anymore. Mass transit. Yeah, he lost it with his luggage and he came back to me. He's like, I lost my journal. When can I get another one? And I didn't have any in print at the time. But right when I printed out, I gave him one immediately. He's like, oh, thank you. I rely on this every day. It becomes a nightly 3-minute gratitude practice that you just keep doing. And if you're ever feeling down or feeling insecure, having anxiety coming back into your life, you can just turn to this easy 3-minute practice, because I am the type of person that cannot commit to excessive journal writing or a lot of time to try and help myself get better when I have so many kids and other things. I really made it very concise, but very practical and something that anybody can do to keep up with their mental health. So it's not just gratitude. There's a few other things that are listed in there. Anyone can do it without the journal. Like if you're listening, you take a piece of paper, make a grid system, and you would rate 1 to 10 how you're feeling today. Then you would write down 3 things you're grateful for. But as you're writing those down, you would go into how you feel about those things you're grateful for. That helps the type A's not just check it off the list, but internalize and make it visceral for them.
Right.
And then I have you write down 3 things that you've done that are amazing. Because a lot of times we get through the day and we get the end of the day thinking, what did I even do today that helped or accomplished anything? And then the last one is my favorite part of the day. And it helps reset the mind. I totally believe in neuroplasticity. I know for myself through my own recovery that simple micro practices lead to big results. And I'm living proof.
One of my most listened to podcasts was by a girl named Sydney. She's only 25 and has had more traumatic stuff happened to her than most people have in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And she talks about something similar. She was in therapy at the time. And I think her therapist told her to write some things down. But the way I asked her, I says, how did you even make it through all that? And her attitude is just amazing. And she said, I took things that happened to me during the day, good, bad, and then how I reacted to them. And if my positive reactions didn't outnumber my negative reactions, then I needed to do better tomorrow. Hmm. And so it's different, but it's similar. But it's just that thought process of thinking about the good things that happened, the things you liked best, and bringing them up to the surface that's going to help you just feel better.
Right.
And so I like how you have that to help that process, to help people.
Yeah. And I created, at first it was just a, standard general journal for everybody. I had a friend whose daughter ended up in the ER because she couldn't get her daughter to pull out of an anxiety attack. And I had been desiring to do a teens version because in Utah, the number one leading cause of death is actually suicide. That helped catapult me into an overnighter, creating my teens version as well as my child's version. And inside of those two journals, it includes not just the nightly practice, but also things that teens can turn to, like the loving kindness meditation, drawing meditation, just little things that will help them learn some life skills that hopefully if they learn as a teen, because teens are facing really, really hard things with a mind that's not fully developed.
Right.
And hopefully if they learn to cope with the things that are happening with a mindset that can remember, if I just get through this, it'll be okay. I will be okay. If they learn with that mindset as a teen, how much better will they be as an adult?
And sometimes we, at least I'm talking from me personally. So I look at what's going on with COVID right now when they're talking about missing prom, missing graduation, missing this and that, birthdays. From my perspective, not being a teen anymore, I just go, come on, guys. I mean, there's people losing their businesses and their livelihoods. Why are we worried about prom? Mm-hmm. But when you're a teen, prom and graduation and that type of stuff is important.
Yeah, it was your everything in that moment.
And it's hard for them to grasp what we're thinking as adults where we're dealing with bigger life issues. But it's important to them and it affects them mentally.
Absolutely. And children, like children, their feelings need to be totally seen as valid and validated. And then when they react to something, the way that we coach them through that is the way that they will react possibly in the future and as an adult. There's been studies in Harvard and also in the positive psychology realm in the University of Pennsylvania that has shown that children can be, you know, get out of a negative mindset. And it's never too late, actually. They've actually done studies with those that are elderly that maybe have a negative disposition, but just by practicing gratitude and a few of the things I put in my journal, they can actually go from being pessimistic to being optimistic. It's not just this woo-woo, yay, let's be happy kind of journal. This is science-based therapeutic right. journal. Every step that we go through in our lives, whether we're a child or a teen or an adult, what we are experiencing is real, you know, real feelings and need to be validated.
Right.
And so, you know, as an adult, it's maybe for some of us, it's difficult to put us in our teenager shoes or in our child's shoes. But if we just recognize these feelings are real, this experience is so real, they, you know, especially if those kids are prone to depression or anxiety, whether we think that it's a ridiculous reason that they might be having an anxiety attack or not, for them, it is 100% real and needs to be seen as a need.
Right. Awesome. So your three things that we're going to be talking about tonight, are they on one website or one location, or do you have them separated?
I have two websites, but you can access them all through one.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Gratitude Journal, best place to get it.
That you can find, I think two of them now are on Amazon, but you can just find it, the link through kpspeaks.com.
Okay. And now let's go to your cooking stuff.
Okay.
What do you cook?
I cook authentic Italian food. Hence the last name Petrucci, but I'm not Italian. I just look like I'm Italian.
Okay, so now the question, does pineapple belong on pizza?
That is a heresy. No. There's a really well-known Italian in the community of the church that I belong to. He was asked by some BYU producers, TV producers, if that belonged, and he claimed that that was blasphemy. So no.
Barbecue sauce on pizza.
Nope.
I made a barbecue chicken pizza in my hometown when I was home one time. And there is a family in our community that is Italian. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't even try it.
Yeah, it's not pizza to them.
Just give it a try. No.
If you called it something else, they would eat it. That's just don't hilarious. Call it pizza.
That's funny. So tell us a little bit about how your classes work, both in the live situation and online, just having to do that pivot online.
Okay. So the live situation is people sign up through either Instagram or on my website. They find out word of mouth a lot of times, or through also LinkedIn now. And I charge not too much, but it's a live, awesome culinary experience. So it's between $50 to $75 each person. And they come either to my home or to a corporate office or a corporate kitchen. And we cook together. They learn an authentic Italian recipe. We eat together. That's the best part. And we experience together. As far as authentic Italian food goes, it's not just about the food. It's about the experience. It's about the culture. The recipes that I share come from my mother-in-law, most of them. I've shared a few from really good friends. But they, you know, they're stories that are told through the palate. It's a way of me capturing the culture and the history of my husband's family and my children's family. So we just come. It's like we go to Italy for a couple hours and we escape. As far as the virtual culinary experiences go, I do it through a Zoom call. I have up to 20 guests. I charge a flat fee of $500, except for two different classes that are a little bit more intense. Gnocchi is one of those, and lasagna. Everyone cooks in their own kitchen, so I send them what they need to purchase for the recipe, and then I send them the recipe after I teach them. So they're learning with me as if I were in their kitchen, but they're watching online. And then afterwards, if they choose to, they stay online, and we eat, and we chat, you know, we connect that way. So a lot of companies are finding that it's a great team building experience, especially in this time where they need something to keep everyone connected, but a lot of people are not feeling connected through their work. You know, before they were maybe going into the, I won't call it the water cooler place, but, you know, playing ping pong or the snack room, and they could connect that way, or working side by side. Well, now they're looking for all these different ways to connect. I found that the companies have really, really enjoyed it. Like Walker Edison has had me back 2 times. They love it. And family members are also involved sometimes.
What does your setup look like whenever you're doing, do you have several views or is it just one view? What does it look like?
Well, with COVID, it's been interesting because I really was embracing the let's do this all on your own. So I have my parents, I do it in my parents' kitchen so that I don't have my kids around. I have their giant screen TV set up on my countertop, on their countertop. I have my webcam set up with a selfie stick above the TV. My TV plugged in, my computer plugged into the TV. And the reason for the TV is just so I can see everyone in a larger version, you know?
Right, right.
And that way I can check on them and see if they're actually.
You're cutting that wrong.
Yeah. And then I have, you know, I made sure the webcam could point down onto my stovetop as well as the countertop. And then sometimes I have to sit down so I can actually chat with them to see my face, you know, because my webcam couldn't capture everything.
Right.
I keep them muted and I tell them just unmute if you want to ask a question. That way, it's not, you know, they can pin me if they want to.
Right.
Just to watch just me, or if they want to be able to see everyone, then they can keep it on a grid
view. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Now let's get into the, not the important stuff, but your main thing that you're trying to grow right now is your transformational speaking business.
Yeah.
What does that entail? What is that process?
It has been so interesting. I decided that I was really going to go for it June 2019. So I hired a business coach. I decided to invest in myself. I highly, highly recommend if you're going to go for something that you've never done, get some mentors, get business coaches, whatever you need to, you know, get yourself kickstarted. Within 2 weeks of hiring my business coach, Crystal Lee Beck, she was able to hook me up with a contact at Amazon Corporate. I landed a speaking gig up at Amazon Corporate to a group of employees called Malmazonian. And they were very interested in what I wanted to speak about, which was helping men live victoriously. I came to the decision to help men live victoriously through my own life experience of seeing several men in my life kind of tank through the high pressure and the discouragement of job loss, not taking time for themselves, not going to therapy, tragedy, so many different things that affect men. But I feel like there's so much out there for women empowerment, taking care of women, and there's not that much for men. The pendulum swung so far for the women that men were starting to be left behind, especially with the Me Too movement, which I embrace, and I'm part of that Me Too movement. I'm part of being the women's empowerment movement, which I am super grateful for. But I felt like it was time to bring that pendulum back to the middle and say, show that everyone's human, that we all have those emotional needs and that need to focus on well-being and mental hygiene.
Well, and I always see on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, different women's groups. Mm-hmm. You know, empower women this, empower women that, all over the place, places for women to go and hang out. Now, I don't know if a men's group like that would succeed because we're a little bit less feeling, maybe, or we try to not show our feelings. But I just always see that. It's like, wow, how come there's always stuff for women and there's nothing, I mean, nothing for men other than, but we do things. You know, we not necessarily in that type of group, but we'll go golf together, go out to lunch together. We do a lot of things together. But I do notice that there is a lot more camaraderie among women. Am I wrong?
No, you're totally right. It's kind of more in your face. We're all out there. We're all going out to lunch. We have the women's night. We have the women's business groups. We have so many things out there for women to grasp and to take advantage of. And I think it's because, you know, for so long we were almost treated as a second class citizen. I don't want to get into, you know, this kind of discussion, but it was such for so long. And women do need that type of connection. Women thrive on connection. In fact, when I taught recently a class at UVU, I was teaching about connection and gratitude and wonder and positive psychology. And I asked the question, guys, how many of you, by the raise of hands, turn to a friend when you're really struggling? One of them raised their hand. Ladies, how many of you turn to a friend when you're struggling? Every single one raised their hands. That is kind of why I started raising my voice. Not just because I love to speak, which I absolutely love to do, but I started wanting to bring the awareness that men tend to pull inward when they're struggling instead of reaching outward. And outward is actually what they need. They need connection. Connection is a healing point. I've seen it, like I said, I've been married twice. So with my husband now, with my previous husband, with some of my brothers, with my dad, with friends, the tendency for men to pull inward and turn to self-destructive behaviors is so much higher than for women to pull inward and turn to self-destructive behaviors. I feel like that is a pandemic that's hitting our world, and it's destroying families and destroying men. In fact, according to the CDC, every day approximately 129 people die by suicide, and approximately 93 of them are men. Now, women do attempt to die by suicide more than men, but men are the ones that are dying. And so I see this great disparity. I see this great need, and I saw it. I didn't even know the statistics when I decided I wanted to help men. But as I started to speak out loud and raise my voice, I started seeing it more and more, the necessity for women to understand the needs of the men in their lives and for men to understand that they're not alone. And then what's interesting is once I started raising my voice about the subject, I would get asked the question, so how do you do it for your husband? Well, to be honest, I'm actually terrible at connecting with my husband. And that's probably why he was tanking so much for a while. It's embarrassing to even bring that out, but I thought I was being there for him. I'd be like, if you have anything to say, are you struggling with anything? Let me know. But that's not what he needed. I wasn't there to listen to what he actually needed. I just be there like the way that I needed to be heard. I needed to be seen. And so it's been a very interesting journey, self-discovery, and as well as trying to navigate this world of what do men really need? Do they really need that group? You know, like you said, getting together and doing all these things all together. Do they really need that? What is it that a man needs? So Bart, I'm here. I'm asking you, what does a man really need?
What is a man really? Well, that's a, you're not supposed, this is my podcast. I ask the questions. You know, I was going to ask you, have men been receptive?
They have been very receptive. They are like, yes, this is, yes, connection. Yes, wonder. Yes, gratitude. Yes, we are struggling. Yes. And then they say, but I don't think I would go out and hang out with my friends. But I don't think I would do this.
So the first thing that comes to my mind is there's always a woman's night or a woman's vacation or a woman's this or that. Now, I probably personally would not go on a man's getaway somewhere. Mm-hmm. Unless it was, I mean, I guess I would hunting or, you know, and I don't really hunt, but that's something that men would do, or a golf outing or something like that. But they're, as far as a complete man's come together and talk about your feelings group, that would be tough for me to go to.
Yeah.
We all have issues, and I do have a few, probably three or four friends that I can talk really frankly with.
Okay.
You know, and that's what I need more than a group personally. Mm-hmm. You know, the getaways, the, you know, an afternoon out on the golf course or at Top Golf or something like that, that would be something that, that I think men would get into, including myself.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more about quality, not quantity.
Right.
For men.
I don't know that men are looking for these empowering men groups.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's a bad idea either.
So what I feel is needed is questions, asking each of, you know, the men in your life, what is it that you feel you need? Because just like women, each man is very individual. For one man, it might be, I need 2 hours to just breathe and relax. And for another, it might be, I really need to go play basketball every morning at 6 a.m. with my buddies. I think that the understanding needs to be mutual. Men asking their, you know, women or their partner, what do you need? And that reciprocation of swinging that pendulum back into the middle, where it's not about empowerment for one sex, it's empowerment for all. That's kind of, you know, it's not really my message, but what I hoped to do with sharing some of the statistics about suicide and about anxiety is to show that men have feelings too. I know it sounds really silly saying that out loud, but men have feelings too. Men
We're
are...
not just tough, rough and right. tough guys.
Yeah.
However, I am a rough and tough cowboy, just so you all know.
and that men, you know, they bulldoze through life until they reach that one breaking point. That breaking point is just the point of, do I end my life or do I create a very big life change, which usually means, you know, extreme self-destructive behaviors or leaving my family or whatever it is? Or do I keep bulldozing through hoping that somehow something's going to happen? Or they turn finally to recognizing it's time for a change and I'm going to turn to something good. So my speaking started with the hope and desire to share my own story, which was, you know, the grandma seizure, seeing my husband go through trauma with that, seeing his wife not be available anymore, having to go back to work, having to deal with all those stresses, having little kids. All of us have tragedies that happen in our lives, and tragedies don't just happen over time slowly. Usually a tragedy and something that's traumatic is sudden and without expectation. Like it just bam, happens. So when you have something like that happen, what do you do? How do you deal with it? I teach micro practices as I speak. I teach about active gratitude. I teach about wonder, something I call stop and wonder. And I teach about connection. Those micro practices are scientifically proven to help your neuroplasticity to turn for the good, to help you get out of your head and into your life. And I know that they work because I personally practice them and I personally use them to get myself out of my head. I used to say every day is a victory because I literally felt like getting through the day and making it to the end of the day was a victory for me. I don't have to use that anymore. I like to say now, live victoriously. It's been an amazing, crazy, like I want to use swear words type of journey these past 4 years since my grandma's seizure. Lots of trauma in between, not just the seizure, not just the epilepsy, but other things that have come in my way that I just had no idea could even upset my life so much that could even be part of my imagination of what would happen in my own life. But through all of the traumas and the crazy things that have happened in my life, I have been able to weather through it because I feel like I was inoculated through these micro practices that I teach as I speak. And if I come into a corporation, building team building experiences, things like that.
Awesome. That's great. And I think a lot of the stuff you have mentioned can help a lot of people in the audience that are having these issues, especially in this time where we are overstressed. Mm-hmm. I know I'm more stressed. I lose sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of people don't recognize that they're stressed till they reach a really high level. But little things to recognize, maybe your stomach hurts a little bit or your eating habits change. Like you said, you're not sleeping as well. For men, a lot of men, if they have anxiety or depression, they react with anger. So you're not going to see them crying in a corner. You're going to see them reacting with anger and frustration. Right. For women, it might be for a woman when they're depressed, they're going to actually isolate more than they would normally. and eat a lot more food. So that's, I'm not just saying that just because they're women, but I mean, it's out there in the statistics.
Right.
And so if you lash out at your kids more than normal as a mom or a dad, take note of that. It's not because of your kids. It's not because of behaviors. It's because you are in need of self-care.
Right.
Taking that deep breath. The stop and wonder is something that I use all the time. And what it is to help you stop ruminating and get yourself centered. And it's just taking in about 3 deep belly breaths, kind of tracing your feet on the floor, noticing where your hands are. You don't have to trace your feet if you don't want, but going to a place that brings you joy or happiness, or even just like breaking that thought pattern by looking outside, calling a friend, listening to a song really quick, immediately trying to break the thought patterns that are negative. That's what I call stop and wonder. And it helps you. It's my acronym right there. Saw through those negative thoughts.
Awesome. I like that. Okay. Now I'm going to get into some questions I ask my guests.
Okay.
And it comes from a Tim Ferriss book, The Tribe of Mentors. And it's, what is a failure that you've had where you've learned the most, and what did you learn?
Does it have to be business?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. I would say spending money on a lot of those, I'm going to teach you in 6 weeks to do something, or I haven't spent too much money, but it's enough to add up to, like, I could have gotten that extra certificate that I wanted, but I never got because I couldn't afford it. But if you added up all of the money I spent on extra programs I never did, that would be one. But I'd say the biggest failure I feel like is failing to be there emotionally for my 17-year-old son and my 14-year-old daughter.
So how did you change that, or were you able to change that?
So I was there for them when they were younger, and then I went through a stage of blocking attachment. They both decided to live with their dad. So I don't know if I've been able to change that, but what I did change was the mindset of recognizing that them choosing to be with their dad does not mean that they are not choosing to be with me. It's simply that they feel more connected to their dad. Even if it does feel like a failure on my part, there's still a way to connect to them even if they're not with me. And they've moved out of state, so it's not like I can go see them every week and try to connect. So learning that you can be creative in the way that you connect with your kids, you can let go. I have a tendency to want to prevent them from getting hurt, but by doing so, it made them feel more like I was trying to control them.
And then as far as mentors and courses and spending money on that, I have overspent on stuff that was worthless, whether it was my fault or the mentor's fault. I even have courses that I've purchased that I haven't finished yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have an excuse, but an excuse is, there's plenty of excuses out there, but we've all spent money on stuff. And I'm not saying courses and mentors are not necessary, because they are.
I agree, because I've spent money on some courses of absolutely 100% help to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And also it's on the person buying them as well. Are you doing what the course is saying?
Yep.
Are you doing what your mentor is saying? Are you just listening to it and then not acting?
Right. I mean, because I know you have a course, and I'm actually building a course. So for me to say that that's one of my failures, you're totally right. It's all up to the learner.
Right.
Because the people that create the courses, we are 100% putting out there our best, and with, you know, we're pricing it at a price that is valuable, that someone can afford, but also shows the value of what they're receiving.
Right. The course that I have finished is my free course. I haven't got my paid course finished up yet, which is the continuation of the free course, but it's on how to find your ideal side hustle. And you can find it at sidehustle.monetizeyourmindset.com if you're interested. Now let's get on to the next question.
Okay.
We're going to flip the previous question on its head and say, what is your biggest success and what did you learn?
Okay. So my biggest success would also be my children. So I think just seeing them become their own people and recognizing, you know, that all they really needed was love. So my biggest failure became my biggest success when I recognized where I was failing and trying to pull back and turn it around.
Awesome. Next question. We have 2 more questions and we'll be done.
Okay.
What is a book that has influenced you the most, or maybe you share the most, quote from the most. What is that to you?
Okay, so I have two. I have a TED Talk by Guy Winch, and that one is the one that helped me get out of my head. You just have to Google Guy Winch, and it's about mental hygiene. Really great. And then the book is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. That's
love that
really
book.
Helped me through everything. Like everything I go through, all right, what's the meaning of this one? And it really, like, logotherapy is the real deal.
For those who haven't got that book or listened to that book, it is a life changer, because to actually hear someone's perspective of what they went through in the
concentration camps
yeah. and how they found something to live for, something to go on the next day for.
Yeah.
It's a life-changing book to listen to or to read.
I love that he describes how those that actually survived, they literally had to have a meaning and a reason. And his was his wife. He didn't know if she was alive or not, but every day he lived for her.
Right.
And then found out after, because he really believed she was alive. And then afterwards found out she was dead, but he made it through that because he had a purpose.
Right.
So finding your purpose is huge.
It is. It is huge. As we're wrapping things up here, for someone that is on the fence to start a side hustle, to start their entrepreneurship, to do something that's different than what they used to do, whether they got laid off or whether they're got cut back and they need extra money, or for that matter, they just want security, you know, financial security. So they want to start a side hustle for if something happens. What is your best advice?
My very best advice is to seek out 2 to 3 mentors who have gone through the process before you. So a mentor doesn't necessarily have to be exactly what you're seeking or wanting to do, but I say go for it, because it's so much fun living for your dreams and doing something you're passionate and love. Finding those mentors that can help guide you through it, and just being brave, like recognizing that everybody is just a person that wants to be seen, and seeking those people out, like putting out there, I'm in search for a mentor. I did that on LinkedIn, and I had someone contact me and say, I would love to be your mentor. I found 3 or 4 amazing, amazing people who have been my mentor through this process without asking me to pay them or anything. They just want to pass it on. That would be my advice.
I have the perfect story for that, in that with my online course, I had to have a system or a, you know, an LMS to host it. And there's several that are out there, whether you want to host it on your own site or host it on someplace like Teachable, or, you know, there's several of them out there, and I chose to host it on my site. I use a software called LearnDash that's on the back end of my site. I went through and set it up, and it was so clunky to register. I mean, you had to go to your email and come back and then go to your email again and then log in. I was just like, gosh, this can't be the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And me and my web guy, we searched for days, if not weeks, on YouTube, you know, watching YouTube videos, trying to figure it out. And finally, I got into a Facebook group, and I saw a guy answering everybody's questions. And then he had an example of how his worked. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. It's just smooth how it goes through. And I contacted him and asked him if he would help me. He's like, yeah, I charge $75 an hour, probably take 2 hours. And I says, well, let's do it in one. Mm-hmm. And I contacted him. He lived in London. We set up a time. Within an hour, he had mine working. I'd spent days, if not weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it saved me so much time just to pay him the $75
mm-hmm.
to get mine set up and working properly. So mentors.
Yes.
If they know what they're doing, can be a huge asset to you.
Right. Well, even like me hiring the business coach initially.
Yeah.
It made me feel so amazing to invest in myself. And it wasn't just a couple $100s. It was a lot.
Right.
It was a fair price. I think she underpriced herself because she was that amazing. That put me, I'd say, a couple of years ahead of what I would have done if I would have tried to do it on my own. And I only had her for 2 months.
And it's nice to have that comfort of someone to, you know, throw ideas off of and, mm-hmm. and get your answers quickly. I mean, with that guy, I mean, it was just, and I recorded it so that I could, you know, fall back on it if I needed to. It's just great to have some stuff done quickly mm-hmm. that's going to take you, that if you did it on your own, was going to take you a long time. It's great advice. I like that. How can people connect with you? What ways can they connect with you?
Well, they can find me at kpspeaks.com or on Instagram. It's kpspeaks_. And then LinkedIn, you can find me, but you got to be able to spell my last name. So,
and I will put the, I will put that in the show notes. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify, go to bartmerrill.com and it'll be in the show notes. And we'll have that there so they don't have to spell your last
name. That's right. Petrucci. Try it. Good luck.
All right. Well, thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the podcast. It was very informational. A lot of good stuff for people to use to get through this COVID-19 stuff.
Well, I hope so. And remember, you guys, just take a deep breath. It's going to pass. You're going to make it.
For everybody out there listening, until next time, go monetize it.
Thanks for listening. Remember, monetize your mindset. Build financial security by monetizing what you already know so that you will always have the resources to deal with whatever happens when what happens, happens. Follow us on Facebook and at bartmerrill.com. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.